Right, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chav Beis and Shabbos. We're starting on Chav Aleph Amud Aleph, we're at the bottom of the Amud, and we are three lines from the very bottom, starting with the words Amar Avuna. Okay, we're about to start in the Gemara the topic of Chanukah. Chanukah comes up in the Gemara over here simply because the main mitzvah of Chanukah is to light the menorah, and much like in the second paragraph of Shabbos, we're talking about lighting Shabbos licht. So we are. It's no better time than now to talk about lighting the menorah licht, which may share some of the same rules as the lighting the Shabbos licht. Obviously, there are two different purposes. In other words, lighting the Shabbos licht, as we've now been talking about for the past couple of days, is about light. Sorry, licht is Yiddish. So yeah. What could I do? You'll learn. Much like I had to learn, you'll learn also. By Shabbos, obviously, the whole purpose of lighting is to cover Shabbos and Onik Shabbos, and it has nothing to do with a miracle. It's not a nace. And by Chanukah, it's all about the nace. So obviously, there are going to be some basic distinctions between the two. But generally, though, to the larger point, however, this is a great place for to speak about Chanukah, and the Gemara will do so. For the remainder of yesterday's daf, which is what we're going to do right now, Chav Aleph, and Chav Beis, and Chav Gimel, and a little bit of Chav Dalet, yeah, why not? So we're going to be speaking about the mitzvah of Chanukah. We'll talk a little bit about the history of Chanukah, we'll talk about the mitzvah of Chanukah, and some of the complementary ideas that come with the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. A larger question, which I'm not really going to address, but I'll just raise the issue, is how come there are no mishnayos about Chanukah? This is not my question. This question has been thrown around for a long time. It's a fair question, meaning that Chanukah took place during Beit Sheni, and it took place before Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, obviously, because Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about the about how to light the menorah. So obviously, not only the miracle, but the mitzvah of Chanukah already was established during Beit Sheni. So the Mishnayos were written until well after the Churban HaBayis. So why didn't Rav Yehuda Anasi dedicate a Masechta to Chanukah? It's a good question. It's a reasonable question. And on top of that, you think about it, Purim, which is a mitzvah derabanan, Purim gets its own Masechta. So it can't be for the fact that it's a mitzvah derabanan, because Purim got its own Masechta, even though it's only a mitzvah derabanan. So okay, so again, it's a topic of discussion. I've seen a number of suggestions. Some of them are very interesting, but anyway, that's one issue which I'll just raise, and then we'll move on. The Gemara starts off the discussion here. Amar Rav Huna, three lines on the bottom of the Amud. Apsilus Rishmanu Shamru Chachamim Ein Malikin Bahem B'Shabbes. Ein Malikin Bahem Chanukah Bahem B'Shabbes Bahem B'Chol. Okay, so in our Mishnah we learned that there are six wicks and six oils which are inferior. And so therefore we learned that by Shabbos you can't use it. Right? Why? As we saw in yesterday's daf, because the fire is misachzeches, meaning the fire doesn't really hold the wick well. And so therefore you might come to tilt the lamp, or just simply put, the lamp might just go out. So therefore you can't use it for Shabbos. What Rav Huna is teaching us is whatever is inferior and you can't use for Shabbos, you can't use for Chanukah as well. Now, Chanukah being 8 days, right? We all knew that, right? Chanukah being 8 days means that one of those nights, and possibly two of those nights, may actually be a Shabbos, may be a Friday night. So that it will, sorry, not maybe, will be a Friday night. So therefore, you're always going to experience on Chanukah weeknight lighting and Shabbos or Friday night lighting. So what Rav Huna is telling us is, whatever I can't use for Shabbos licht, I can't use for Chanukah licht as well, and it doesn't matter whether it's the weekday Chanukah licht or the Friday night Chanukah licht. So Amar Rava, my time at Rav Huna. So Rava says, and let me propose an explanation of why this is so, because you have to understand, Chanukah is not the same as Shabbos. There's no Isser Malacha of lighting a menorah for Chanukah. So the Gemara explains like this: Kasavar Kafta Zakukla. So first of all, and this is a debate that we're going to see again and again throughout the next 3 days of Gemara, 4 days of Gemara. Kafta zakuk la. What if your Chanukah menorah goes out? Do you have to light it again? Okay? This is subject to a debate. So right now what Rav is saying in explanation of Rav Huna is, Rav Huna holds kafta zakuk la. You have to relight it.
Well, didn't that happen now?
Well,
right?
Well, yeah. Let's just simply say yes for now. And also you're allowed to benefit from the light of the Hanukkah menorah. Now, that's also subject to a major debate, as we're going to be discussing over the course of the next couple of days. And so what Rav is suggesting, an explanation of Rav Huna, is that Rav Huna says that you're allowed to get benefit from the light of the menorah. Okay, so let's summarize. So according to now Rav Huna, he holds of two positions. He holds that if the menorah goes out, you got to relight it. He also holds that you're allowed to benefit from the light. And now with these two explanations in mind, now we're going to understand. So let's first go over point number one. Point number one is that when you light your Hanukkah menorah during the week, you gotta use quality oil. You can't use inferior oil. Yeah, because Rav Huna says the mitzvah of the menorah is not just to light the menorah, but to have it lit during a certain period of time. Let's call that half an hour, even though, as we'll see later on, there's no magic in the number half an hour, but let's say it's got to be lit for half an hour. So in other words, you have to use an oil that's going to last. So that's number one. That's why during the week, you got to use a quality oil. Now, what about on Friday night? There's another issue. And the other issue is mutar lihishtamish la'ora, that you're allowed to use the light of the menorah. Again, according to Rav Huna. We'll discuss the halacha later on. But according to Rav Huna, you're allowed to use the light. So that means on Friday night, so as much as I can use my Shabbos licht, if I want to, I was going to say read, but that you can't do. But in other words, is Shabbos licht, I can use it for its illumination. But I can also go to the Chanukah licht as well and use that for illumination. So for that reason, on Friday night, when I light my Chanukah licht, because I can benefit from it, I'm better sure to use a quality wick and quality oil so that the light doesn't go out. Good. That's all Rav Huna. Opinion number two is Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra, I'm a malik man b'chol, avalah b'Shabbos. Okay, so Rav Chisra, opinion number two will be that during the week, you could use the inferior oils. It's fine. And you can use the inferior wicks. That's fine. But on Friday night, when I'm lighting my Chanukah menorah, I have to use the quality stuff, the quality oil and the quality wicks. Now, kasavar. So here now we're going to split. Why? Because kafta ein zakukla. We're now on the top of chafavim base. Because if it were to go out, don't worry about it. You don't have to relight it. The mitzvah of the lighting of the menorah, according to Rav Chisra, is simply just the act of lighting and that's it. So I don't need to use quality wicks and I don't need to use quality oil because it doesn't have to stay lit. And he also holds that you're allowed to get benefit from the light of the menorah. So that means now that on Friday night, so it doesn't have to stay lit, but if it's going to be lit, it better use quality oil and quality wicks because I'm going to be sitting there on Friday night using the light of the menorah, and if it's not providing good light, I may be tempted to tip it over in order to draw the oil, which would be a malacha. Good. So that's opinion number two. That's Rav Chisra. And finally, opinion number three. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Masav, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Psilos Ushmanim Shamu Chachamim Ein Malikim Ben B'Shabbes Madlikin Behem B'Chanukah Ben B'Chol Ben B'Shabbes. And the third and final opinion is the opinion of Rav, which is that for Chanukah, don't worry about the quality. I know that sounds funny because Chanukah is all about stepping up the mitzvah, but according to Rav, don't worry about the quality of the oil and do not worry about the quality of the wicks. Why not? The Gemara goes on to explain. I'm Rav Yirmiyah, my time in the Rav, Kesav, Kaftein, Zakukla. So number one, so Rav is of the opinion, which parenthetically is the accepted halacha of Kaftein, Zakukla. If the menorah goes out, okay, you did what you were supposed to do. You put enough oil in order for it to last for a while. You lit the wicks, and whatever, it went out. So Ein Zakukla, so you don't have to go back and you don't have to relight it. So for that reason, so you don't need quality wicks and quality oils, because so what if it goes out? And V'asal Yishamish La'ora. And on top of that, he's also of the opinion that you're not allowed to benefit from the light of the Chanukah, which parenthetically is also the accepted halacha. You're not allowed to gain any benefit from the light. Now we know that because it says so in the song, right? Okay, but that's a song. But in other words, that's the accepted halacha that you're not allowed to benefit from the light. So on Friday night, Rav will tell you, same story. Meaning, use whatever you want to light your Chanukah menorah. Don't worry about the illumination because you're not allowed to benefit from the light. Period. Now, Amru Rabbanan Kamei Dabai Mishmed Rav Yirmiyah V'lo Kibla. They said it in front of Abaye in the name of Rav Yirmiyah, and he didn't accept it. And Ki Asa Rav and Amru Rabbanan Kamei Dabai Mishmed Rav Yochanan V'Kibla. And then he heard it in the name of Rav Yochanan, and then he accepted it. So Amri Zaka Gemirt L'Shamet Mikara. Now Abaye says, I wish I would have learned this earlier in my life. So V'Gamra the Gemara says, so, but what are you bemoaning? Meaning you learned it. So now, if you mean like you're the young Krusa, no, because it's better to learn things when you're young. Okay? Yeah, right. what the Gemara refers to is Girsa Dian Krusa. Girsa Dian Krusa, it's a great expression. You'll see it come up a couple times throughout Shas, is that when you learn things young, so it's ingrained, it's put into your psyche, and that's it. In other words, and you'll remember it forever. Right? Those of us who were prepared for Bar Mitzvah, so we kind of remember our parsha for the rest of our lives, meaning it's Girsa Dian Krusa. It's, you know, what we're forced to learn when we're young. Okay, that elementary school education is not overrated. It seems pretty important. High school education is overrated, but that's, you know, that's what I do for a living. So yeah, I know. It's okay. They can hear me say this. Well, I'm not in high school mode right now, so it's fine. So it's before 8 o'clock. Okay. What points do I want to discuss right now? So let's go over the. Let's go back to this position, Rob. You're not allowed to benefit from the light. So I'm going to ask a very simple question. Why not? Why aren't you allowed to benefit from the light? So there's nothing. Is there anything sacrosanct about the light of the menorah? Oh, then is it hektish? It's not hektish. Okay, good. So let's formulate. Let's give a couple of explanations in terms of at least one. I have two ready for today, but let's give a couple of explanations of why it is that you can't benefit from the light. That's Rav's position. That's the accepted halacha. Why not? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi gives an explanation. Rashi says, "Asa lishtamish la'orah." It's the second Rashi on the Amud, and he writes, and I'm reading, "Shehe nikar shehu near mitzvah." Oh, so Rashi says because you want the world to know that this is near mitzvah. Meaning, look, it's nighttime. I'm lighting a candle, okay, or I'm lighting my lamp. Who's to know that I'm lighting it for a mitzvah? Meaning, if I'm sitting there and I'm reading right by it, so people who are walking by are going to say, oh, okay, good. He wants to read, so therefore he's got a light. If, in fact, the halacha is that I'm not allowed to benefit from the light, so in other words, here I am, I'm lighting a light, and then I stay away from it, so now the passerby is going to look at the light and say, unusual. He lit the light, but he's not using it? Ah, near mitzvah. It must be right near Hanukkah. It must be that there's some other purpose for it, to remember the nace. So to make sure that people know that that I'm lighting it so that I'm trying to remember a nace, so therefore, Asur Lishtam Shlora, I can't benefit from it. So says Rashi, that's Rashi's explanation of why you're not to benefit from the light. There's the other Rishonim, I think the Rashba. Pretty sure. The other Rishonim say that what is the menorah that we light? It commemorates the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning, as we're about to see at the end of today's daf, the reason why the Chachamim were koveh the miracle was because we all know, right? There was only oil for one day; it lasted for 8 days, right? We got that one down. So, in other words, our menorah is like a mini menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, I got to be careful about how you say that. You're not. It's not. Meaning, it's not the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, for starters, we have 8 branches on ours. The menorah in the Beis Hamikdash had 7, but it commemorates the menorah, and to give it more of a sense of commemoration of the menorah, just like the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to use its oil. That's hektesh, and you're not allowed to use that oil. So our mini menorahs, which is a way of concretizing and commemorating, so therefore to help us remember that it's. In remembering the menorah, so therefore you're not allowed to get benefit from its light as well. Okay, that's the Rashba. So there are two different explanations in terms of why it is you're not allowed to get benefit from the light.
You also don't want to use it. I mean, it's a mitzvah. So it's like a lulav. I can use a lulav to, poke something.
So bizui mitzvah, right?
Yeah,
okay, so we'll speak to that idea later today. Amur Rabbanan, no, we did that. I'm sorry. Where am I? V'kafta ein zakuk la. Okay, so now we're going to go back to this opinion. This opinion of Rav, which is that if it goes out, okay, you don't have to relight it. Would it be nice if you relight it? Maybe. But you don't have to. So the Rimin of the Gemara says, but I'm going to ask you the following question. We have a brisa, and the brisa says that when do you light the menorah? From the point of Shkia Sachama, from sunset, until there's no longer any traffic in the marketplace. In other words, the whole purpose of lighting is Persume Nisa. So you want to get it when there's traffic. So when the sun sets, people start walking home. I don't know, let's say a half an hour later, let's say, the Gemara doesn't use this terminology, but let's say about a half an hour later, everyone's home. So for that half an hour, you need the oil to be lit. So now, my love, now the assumption is that the menorah has to be lit during the entire duration of this time, from Shkia Sachama until Asher Techal HaRegel Menashuk, until there are no more people in the market. Which would then indicate that what if your menorah went out? You got to relight it. That's what it would indicate. So this seems to be going against Rav. Rav says, Kafta ein zakuk la, that if the menorah goes out, you don't have to worry about it. You can leave it. So the Gemara says, lo, di'i lo adlik madlik. So the Gemara says one of two possible suggestions. First of all, maybe what the Braisa means is that's your window of opportunity. Not that it has to be lit during that entire window of opportunity, but Shkia Sachama, already your menorah should be lit. But if you didn't light it at that time, you have until Asher Techal HaRegel Menashuk. You have until that time in order to light. But it doesn't have to be lit during that entire duration. That's answer number one of the Gemara. Inami l'shi'ure. Another suggestion of the Gemara is shir, meaning that we're not saying that it has to be lit during this time. We're giving this time as an example of how long it needs to be lit. In other words, how much oil do I need to put in order to fulfill the mitzvah? Now, does it have to actually be lit during the whole time? No. It just simply means that if I want to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa, this is how much oil I'm going to put in. The amount of oil that would take to last from Shkia Sachama until Ad Shechal HaRegel Menashuk. But if, in fact, the menorah goes out, it's fine. I don't have to relight it. Okay. So those are two possible answers. So therefore, the Gemara defends Rav and said that, no, if the menorah goes out, you don't have to relight it. But the brisa we just learned, either A, it's talking about when to light, the time to which to light, but not the fact that it must be lit, or how much oil needs to go in. The Gemara continues, Asher Techal HaRegel Menashuk V'ad Kama Amrava Barbarachana Amrav Yochanan Ad Dekaya Rigla De Tarmudai. The Tarmudim, now they were a nationality, they were wood choppers, wood collectors, they would stay out the latest in the market. And so by the time they got home, that's when traffic is over, and at that point in time now, at this point you don't even know how to say it. Meaning the mitzvah is over, it's too late? According to one answer in the Gemara, yes. According to the other answer in the Gemara, no. It's just talking about the duration of time that you have to light the menorah for. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, mitzvah Chanukah ner ishu beisa. The mitzvah of Chanukah is one light per household. V'amahadja ner l'chol echa v'echad. Now, if you want to step up on the mitzvah, now the Gemara uses the word mahadrin. Now, mahadrin could mean hider mitzvah. And it's not a bad interpretation of the Gemara. Much like by Sukkah. I know there's going to be a lot of correlation between Chanukah and Sukkah. You're going to see that connection a number of times today. And it's not just that each one of these yontifs are 8 days, but you're going to see the Gemara connects them again and again. Now, by Sukkah, we have an idea of hider mitzvah. But what does hider mitzvah in the world of Sukkah mean? It means that there's a mitzvah and then the beautification of the mitzvah. Buying a nicer esrog, buying a nicer lulav, etc., etc. So here, mahadrin could come from the word hider mitzvah. If you take a look at Rashi, that doesn't seem that that's what Rashi does with the word mahadrin. Rashi says, mahadrin achar mitzvos, osener echar b'chol laila l'chol echar ve'echar mimnei habayis. Mahadrin achar mitzvos means, how do I say this in English? You run after the mitzvah. It's not from Rashi, it doesn't sound like you're beautifying the mitzvah, But it sounds like you're more zariz. You're jumpier to do the mitzvah. That's a terrible word, but okay, you understand. So what does that mean now? So if you want to step up the mitzvah, so what you could do now is you can have each person in your household lighting. And if you want to really step up the mitzvah, I have a good feeling that everyone's familiar with this machlokus. Yeah. Beit Shammai says that you start with 8 and you count down. So every subsequent day you go down 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And Beit Shammai says opposite. You start with 1 and you go up. Amar Ula Pligi Batrei Amarai Bema Rava Rav Yosi Barav and Rav Yosi Barzvida. So in Eretz Yisrael, they gave two different explanations of what is behind this machlokus. So it's a question of whether we look ahead or we look back. According to Beis Hillel, we look ahead. We look towards the future. Meaning, on the first night of Hanukkah, what's left? I got 8 days coming. So this is only one of 8 days. So yamim hanichnasim. I look towards the days that are upcoming. So on the first night, there are 8 days coming, including tonight, 8. Second day, there are 7 days remaining, including today, 7. And according to Beis Hillel, yamim hayotzim. I look back, meaning tonight's going to be the first night of Hanukkah.
Right, one.
The second night's going to be, we had last night, we have tonight. That's 2. Okay, simple explanation of the machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Hold on 1 second, I'll come right back to it in just a second. And the other explanation of Beis Shammai is Pari Achag. Sukkos, which not that long ago we were just in. So we know that on the first day of Sukkos, so how many parim were brought in the Beis HaMikdash? 13. On the next day of Sukkos, how many parim were brought? 12. 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. Those are the sequence of bulls that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And so what do you see? You go down. So Beis Shammai says, so what do you do over here? You go down. So Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What do the two have to do with one another? And, okay, it's, again, a popular question, one that's spoken about at length. But just for the point of simplicity, Beis Shammai says, that's why I know that we can go down. And Beis Hillel says, no, I go up in Kedusha, I don't go down in Kedusha. Okay, so you have two explanations of this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Either it's the days ahead versus the days behind, or it's the Pari Achag versus Malam Bekosh Vein Maridin. Okay, now basic debate amongst the Rishonim. We have now 3 levels of how to do the mitzvah. The basic is 1 light per household. The second up from that is each person gets to light their own light. And the third level is on the first night, let's go like Beis Hillel, let's just say it like Beis Hillel. On the first night 1, on the second night 2, on the third night 3, etc., etc. I'm going to ask you a very straightforward question, one which you think you know the answer to. But you'll see in just a moment, it's not going to be that easy. When we go to Mahadran and Mahadran, is that going back and explaining the step before, or is that going back 2 steps? Meaning that Mahadran and Mahadran now is I light corresponding to the day that it is. On day 1, I light 1. On day 2, I light 2. Is that per household, or is that per everybody in the household? Okay? Now, you would think that progressively, well, look at the Gemara. The Gemara basically says, here's your levels. Level number 1, 1 per household. Level number 2, each person in the household. So what do you think level number 3 is going to be? Each person in the household is going to light corresponding to the days. That would be the simple way to read the Gemara. And who reads the Gemara that way? The Rambam. The Rambam says, that's how you read the Gemara. So that each person in the household is going to be lighting corresponding to the number of days. Which is, I would say, the more popular minhag, is that each person in the household lights their own menorah. Good.
It's interesting. Ashkenazim go with that, but Sephardim don't.
That's the Rambam. And then Tosos here, right on the daf, says, no, No, that's not what Mahadraman and Mahadra means. Mahadraman and Mahadra means is that when the Gemara offers, I like corresponding to the days, I'm back to only one menorah per household. And Tosfos says, and how do I know that? Meaning it's interesting when you think about it, because truth of the matter is, the Rambam makes a lot of sense. Meaning the Gemara just keeps going up progressively. According to Tosfos, when we get to the highest level, we're going back to Ner Ishu Beso. So Tosfos says, of course we do. Why? Because think about it. What's the reason of Mahadraman and Mahadran? Well, the Gemara just gave us two. But let's focus on the first. What's the reason behind Mahadraman and Mahadran? Kidei Yamim Ha Yotzin. Because with the lighting of the menorah, we're now going to know which day we're at. Well, if everybody in the house is going to be lighting their own menorah, and now somebody passes and sees all those lights, so imagine passing my house. Right, Baruch Hashem. Right, I have a lot of menorahs being lit. So now it looks like a little mini bonfire in my house. So now the person passing by, how is he supposed to know what day number it is? Here we go, I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right, and you'll have no idea.
Just look at one menorah at a time.
So Tosa says, so you light one menorah, so now that when someone passes by, he'll know, oh, I see three candles tonight's the third night. I see four candles tonight's the fourth night. So therefore, Tosa says, if the reason behind Mahadraman and Mahadran is so that people know what day it is, so we're back to one menorah, so that people will know which day it is. So argues Tosfos. Now, what will the Rambam say about that? So it's quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that what the Rambam will say is, look, there were two explanations behind Beis Hillel. One explanation is what we just said, because of Yamim HaYotzim. But another explanation of Beis Hillel is Malim B'Kodesh Ve'Ein Moridin. So what you'll say in defense of the Rambam is that, well, if the reason behind Mahadraman and Mahadran is because of Malim B'Kodesh Ve'Ein Moridin, so then we want to go up in Kedusha. If step two is everybody lights their own menorah, Malim B'Kodesh, so then we're just going to continue going up, which means that everybody's going to keep their menorah and now light corresponding to which day it is. We go up in Kedusha. So in other words, perhaps, this is now my suggestion, the Vilna Gaon, the machlokus between Rambam and Tosfos is really the machlokus in the Gemara in terms of what's the reason behind Mahadraman and Mahadran. And as reported by many Achronim, it's strange because the Shulchan Aruch sides with Tosfos, and the Ramah, the Ashkenazic Minog, is to go like the Rambam. So it's every it's a rare occurrence.
The machlokes is Mahadamim and Mahadin. So what would happen to the regular, just the regular Mahadin? It's the same machlokes, no? When the Beis Shammai say you still do eight and no?
No, if you're doing anything short of Mahadamim and Mahadin, you're only lighting one menorah, one light. Every night.
One light every night.
That's it.
Oh, one light. Okay.
One light a night. Let's go on in the Gemara. We're behind, so let's let me move. I'm sorry. Just it's good. It's interesting. All right, let's move on. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan Shnei Zaken Amar Yubitzidon Echad Asak Beis Shammai Echad Asak Divrei Beis Hillel Zeh Nosein Talmud Vav Keneged Parei Chag Vezeh Nosein Talmud Vav Demal Mekosh Vei Maridin. Okay. So I don't know what the point of that story was. It's bizarre that somebody during the time period of Rabba Bar Bachan is actually following Beis Shammai. That's interesting, but okay. Tana Rabbanan Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lanichal Al Pesach Beiso Mi Bachutz. Okay, the mitzvah is to put it outside your house. At the entrance of your house, on the outside. And now what if you live on the second floor, right? Or some people even live on the third floor. And some people even higher. So manicha b'chalna smuchla rishos harabim, to put it by the window that faces the rishos harabim. V'shasa sakana. Now if it's a period of sakana, meaning, as Rashi points out, that sh'ayya lahem l'parsim chok b'yom idam, Shalo Yivaru Ner Ella Bebeis Avodazara Shalahem. Okay, there was some law passed out by the Persians that you're only allowed to light the light inside of your house, and if you light outside, presumably it was you'd be in big trouble. Anyway, menicha al shochano v'dayos, to put it on your table, and that will be sufficient, and that will be enough. Now, as we discussed earlier, the halacha is that that you're not allowed to use an Ner Chanukah, meaning that we follow like Rav, that there's an Isser to get benefit from the light. So what you do is you get a Ner Acheres, you get another candle, in order to be able to use it to its light. What do we call that Ner? So we call that the Shamish. The Ika Madura Lo Tzarech. Now, if you already have a Madura, meaning if you already have a fire in your house, so then you don't need the Shamish, because you have what to get benefit from it, and so therefore it is recognizable, and Rashi, by the way, here says it a second time in today's daf, it's recognizable that your Ner Chanukah is for the purpose of mitzvah. The Im Adam Chashav Hu, now if it is a Adam Chashav, who doesn't normally use the Or HaMedura, I don't know why not, but whatever, for whatever the reason why, is Afgav Dika Medura Tzarech Ner Acheres. So for the Adam Chashav, he needs Ner Acheres, so in order to signify that the Ner Chanukah is for the purposes of a mitzvah.
So we really don't need a Shamus now.
No.
Light,
no. Right, correct. Agreed.
We
agreed.
Still do.
But we do. It's an accepted minhag. My Chanukah. My Chanukah, the Gemara asks famously over here, what is Chanukah? If you take a look at Rashi, what's the Gemara's question? My Chanukah. So Rashi writes, Al Ezen Nes Kavua. Meaning, look, the Gemara is not interested in giving us history. Meaning, that's not the purpose of this discussion over here. You want history, so there are plenty of historical works to read from. So what the Gemara now wants to know, it's a halachic question. For what reason did Chanukah turn into a quasi-yantif? Right? Why did the Chachamim institute Chanukah as a yantif? Or, when I say yantif, by the way, obviously there's no Issur Melacha on Chanukah. But what we mean is that there's a mitzvah of lighting Chanukah, there's Hallel. In other words, there are certain mitzvot that accompany Chanukah. Now, there have been other miracles historically. Chanukah is not the only historical miracle, so what makes Chanukah special? So the Tanur Rabbanus of the Gemara here quotes the Brisa B'Chafei B'Kislev Yom HaDechanukah. Now, it's going to sound like I'm speaking in Aramaic. And probably the reason why is because I am now going to speak in Aramaic, as now we're quoting from, I presume, we're quoting from Megillas Tanis, which describes the 8 days of Chanukah. On the 25th day of Kislev Yom HaDechanukah Tamana Inyon, there are 8 days, the Lola Mispod Bahon, no eulogies. Right? Megillas Tanis gives us all the days during the year which you're not allowed to eulogize. Now, for the most part, Batla Megillas Tanis, meaning that we no longer subscribe to the days mentioned in Megillas Tanis, obviously the exception would be Chanukah and Purim. So Udalola Sanus Baham, so you can't eulogize on Chanukah, you can't fast on Chanukah, Shekeshenichnasu. Yavanim Lahechal. When the Yavanim came into the Hechal Timu Kolashmanim, they made Tame all the oils. Shibahechal. Ukishigavramachus based Khashmanaim and Itzchom. And then when the Khashmanaim were victorious and successful, Badgu Lamatsu Alapacha Khashal Shemin, they only found one jug of oil of Ashaya Munach Bechos Moshe Kohen Gadol. They had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And there was only enough oil there to light for one day. Now, and a miracle took place, and that one day of oil lasted for 8. L'shana Acheres, the next year, Kav Vasum Yamim Tovim, Bahalal Uvahoda. And so what they did is they established these days to be Yamim Tovim. So the Gemara uses the word Yantiv, right? I know, I say in the Yiddish, but you understand. The Gemara uses the word Yantiv, but it is a limited Yantiv. It's obviously, there's no Issur Melacha. It's Yamim Tovim Bihalel V'Hoda'a. Meaning, by saying Halal and Hoda'a. Now, by the way, when the Gemara says Halal, that we all know. Halal refers to Halal. What does the Gemara mean when it says Hoda'a? Alan Isim. Right. So, by Halal, by Alan Isim, so that's how the rabbis chose to institute it. So in other words, let's put it this way. Let's go back to the question. My Chanukah, meaning, and let's say it like Rashi. What was the miracle that they instituted Chanukah over? So it sounds like from the Gemara that it has nothing to do with the military victory. Meaning, Baruch Hashem, we've had many military victories. It's not the military victory that causes the Chachamim to respond and say, okay, now let's institute. Meaning it is over the Shmonas Yamim, the 8 days of the miracle of the lights.
7 days.
Right.
Does
okay.
It mention that?
No, that's the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef's famous question. Right, if we had light for one night, so then it really only 7 days were miracles. See the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef asked that question famously. The Beis Yosef himself gives three answers, and then everybody decides to contribute, make a contribution to that discussion. Okay, Tanan Hasam. I think there's a sefer that offers 100 answers.
Wow.
I think so. Near Lameyam. Okay, anyway. Tanan Hasam. Okay, now I mentioned earlier this morning that there's no Mishnayos that talk about Hanukkah. So I'm gonna step away from that statement. I'm not gonna move away from that statement, but I'm gonna modify that statement. There are Mishnayos that reference Hanukkah, that talk about Hanukkah, but no Mishnah actually talks about the mitzvah of Hanukkah in of itself. Meaning that's all coming out from these next 3 days, 4 days of Daf Yomi. But it's not like the Mishnayos ignored Hanukkah. They know about the mitzvah of Hanukkah because correct. That's the bigger issue. There's no Masechta Hanukkah. So here we learn a Mishnah in all places, Baba Kama. And the Mishnah in Baba Kama talks about damages. Now, one of the four principal damages, the first Mishnah in Baba Kama, is fire, Eish. So what's going to happen now is that a mitzvah and a hezek are going to intersect. Because as we just learned, the mitzvah is to light the Hanukkah candle not in your house, although I know that's most of our minhagim, is to light it in a house. Okay, that's a different discussion for a different time. But the mitzvah, as it was originally instituted, is to light it outside while there's traffic. So essentially what you're told to do is, hey, why don't you make a fire in traffic? to put it simply. And so obviously now you get on to hezek issues. So the Mishnah says, now, let's say you're hitting your hammer outside and sparks fly and your sparks now ignite somebody else's possession. So it's called your chayav, that meaning you did damage. Gamal. Shiton pishton v'uover b'rishos haramim v'nichtas ha-pishtonol esoch achanut v'dalka b'nei rosh shel chenvani v'hidlekes habira bala gamal chayev. Now, if you have a camel and on the back of the camel you have something which is flammable, the Gemara's example over here is pishton, is flax, and the camel encroached into the area of the store owner. So in other words, the camel went into the airspace of the store owner and it caught fire. The flax caught fire. So bal hagamal chayev. So there, the loss and liability falls on the hands of the camel owner as he encroached onto the store owner's area. But if the store owner took a fire and took it out of his store and put it into the street, and now somebody catches fire, so now the store owner is liable. And now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'ner Chanukah Pator, Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that if you're putting out the fire because it is rabbinically mandated, i.e., Chanukah, and I'm told on Chanukah to take the fire and put it outside, so now I am protected. I now have rabbinic license, and therefore I am protected from any damages. I'm insured, rabbinically insured, from any damages because the Chachamim told me that the mitzvah is to take the fire and put it outside. Amar Avinu Zosamer, Zner Chanukah mitzvah l'anich b'so chasara. So now, why do we quote this Mishnah? So we quote this Mishnah because it sounds now like, where is the proper placement height-wise of the Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground? Because if you think that you are permitted to put the menorah above 10 tefachim, so now the camel owner can say, look, I know there's a mitzvah called Chanukah, and I know you're performing the mitzvah by lighting it outside your store. But if you're allowed to light it above 10 tefachim, so why did you choose 12 tefachim? Why did you choose 15 tefachim? You know where you should have lit your menorah? Up there. Put it up nice and high so that no one's going to get damaged and no one's going to get injured. It must be, therefore, argues the Gemara, that the mitzvah to light the Chanukah menorah is within 10 tefachim of the ground. Okay, that's the argument. The Gemara says, look, it's not a compelling argument. V'dilma I mitra chalei tuva asir lemnuri mitzvah. Gemara says no, because maybe if I were demanded to put it up so high, so now every time I want to fulfill the menorah, I got to get the ladder, climb the ladder, light it up there. I mean, people are going to now, that's difficult already, and people will stop from doing the mitzvah. So maybe it doesn't have to be within 10 tefachim, but at the same time, however, there's no requirement to light it super high. Okay, so it's not a compelling argument that this Mishnah in Baba Kama speaks to the idea that you have to light the menorah within 10 tefachim of the ground. I'm Rav Kana Darsh Rav Nasan Bar Min Yumi Mishmei Rav Rabbi Tancho Ner Shal Chanukah Shinich Lamala Mechaf Amah Psula Kisuka Kamavoy. That if I have a Ner Chanukah and I lit it above 20 Amas, that is very high in the air, that is somewhere in the ballpark of 40 feet in the air, that's four stories high, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah, it would be no different than Sukkah and Mavoy. Right? You learn the first daf in Sukkah, you learn the first daf in Erevin, just like what we're seeing right over here, is that above 20 amas, lo shalta ba'enei, people cannot see that high, people don't see that high, and therefore, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah. Okay? What if you live in a very tall apartment building? So we don't have to worry about that here in Florida. Okay, good. So, but it's it is an important question. It's a it's discussed. But in the meantime, however, you can light it that high. Amar Rav Kahana, Darsh Rav Nosson Bar Min Yumi Mishmei Rav Tanchum I Dechsev Abor Reikin B'Mayim. Now we just quoted a statement by Rav Kahana in the name of Rav Nosson Bar Min Yumi. So the Gemara now quotes another drasha in his name as well, and we're going to darshan a pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. And I'm sure it is no coincidence that on the year when does Hanukkah fall out, the same time that we read Parshas Vayeshev. So in the Gemara they come up side by side, and over the course of the year they also come out at the same time period. So my dechsev abor reikin b'mayim, they threw Yosef into a pit. Right? Familiar? Yeah. So. Yeah, correct. So the and mimashma shenemar v'aborek enu yodei shein b'mayim. So now, but the Torah seems to be somewhat redundant, as the Torah says the pit is empty, and then the Torah further goes on to tell us, and by the way, there's no water in the pit. Well, isn't that what empty means? So ela matamalam ein b'mayim mayimain bo aval nechashim v'akrav miyeshbo. So I think we're all familiar with this. But now we get a chance to actually think about it. So the Gemara says, well, there's no water, but you know what there are? There's snakes and scorpions in the pit. Yeah, Rashi quotes it. Yeah. So now... huh? Right. So it's right. Right. Now, correct. Danny points out, it's not empty now. Okay. And what's the Gemara trying to tell us? That by design, they wanted to throw Yosef into a pit with snakes and scorpions? Hard to imagine. I mean, it wasn't the whole point of throwing him into the pit, is that they don't want to kill him with their hands, but in other words, we'll just put him into a position where he'll be allowed to die, but not be a dime. Don't kill him with your hands. So, hard to understand. Could be that the two statements of the Gemara are following back to back. Meaning the Gemara just simply said that if you light above 20 amas, so then no one's going to see it. So it could be that the pit in question was below 20 amas, and they simply didn't see the snakes and scorpions on the bottom of the pit. Okay, but that's saying a little bit more than what the Gemara is actually saying, but maybe that's what the Gemara means by that. So that's right. But in other words, it's hard to imagine. Right? What we're trying to avoid over here is the idea that by design, they threw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions. And maybe the point of the Gemara over here is, again, more the Yad Hashem, the Nes Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu protected Yosef, even though, really, al derech hateva, naturally, he should have died.
I think they just didn't care. They threw him in. If there was snakes and scorpions, good.
All right, but that's what I'm trying to avoid. But yes, it could be you're right. Okay, Amar Rabba. Near Chanukah mitzvah nicha bePesach hasmucha. Sorry, bTefach hasmucha lePesach. So you should put it proximate to your doorpost. Okay, in fact, not only proximate, but within a tefach, 4 inches away from your doorpost. VeEchamanachle Rav Acher beRav Amram Yamin. So on which doorpost, meaning you know you got two of them, so choose, right or left. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas. So one opinion is to the right, Rav Shmuel midifte amar mismol. And either, it's either Rav Shmuel midifte or Rav Yirmiyah midifte, which normally that's who is ascribed to from difte. Anyway, it says to the left, v'hochasa mismol. And the Gemara says right or left. The Gemara tells us very clearly, to the left. So that your Ner Chanukah now is on the left side, your mezuzah is on your right side, and so now as you walk into the door, so it's the beautiful image of being surrounded by mitzvahs. Mezuzah to the right, Ner Chanukah to the left. Well, yeah, in other words, well, we know the mezuzah is on the right going in. So now by process of elimination, we're talking now about the left as you're walking in. You're not allowed to count money opposite Ner Chanukah. Now, it's a little bit confusing because we already got done with the statement of Rav, which, because we're behind, we actually did today, even though it's yesterday's daf, which is that you're not allowed to get any benefit from Ner Chanukah. So what are we adding over here to what we said previously? Okay, that's not my question, that's everybody's question. So it's a little bit difficult to understand the Gemara in light of what the Gemara said previously. Well, what's wrong? Meaning, Ner Chanukah is half Kedusha? It's not a Dover, it's not a Hektish. Right. Right. So Maskav Rav Yosef Echi Dam Kedusha Yeshba? The Gemara says, okay, we're not saying that Ner Chanukah is Kedusha, but it's a mitzvah, and there's a certain way to conduct the mitzvah. Detanya. In fact, I'll show you in the following example. V'shafach v'kisa b'mesha shafach yichase shelo yichasen b'rego shelo yeh mitzvahs b'zuyos alav. Look, we have a mitzvah called kisu adam. When you shecht either a chaya or an oaf, so the mitzvah is for the first blood that comes out of the neck of the animal, you got to cover it in dirt. So the mitzvah requires you to pick up dirt. But you got to pick up dirt. You can't kick dirt over the blood. That's a bizayon mitzvah. When the Torah tells you to cover the blood with dirt, so you got to pick up the dirt with your hand, and you got to place the dirt over the blood. Okay, good. So here also, hachanam shalayim, mitzvahs bezuyos alav. So the same thing over here. If I light my Chanukah licht, there's no kedusha in the Chanukah licht, but it's a mitzvah. And so now here I am, doing the most mundane activity of counting money by the Chanukah licht. It's a bizayon ha-mitzvah. Let's do a little bit more today, and we'll finish. In other words, we decorate our sukkah. Okay, I know the minhag Lubavitch is not to decorate the sukkah, but the minhag is, as recorded in the Mishnayos, is to decorate the sukkah. Can I benefit from any decorations? Now, back in the good old days, they used food. Food was the means of decoration. So now, let's say, right, there's a jug of oil hanging from my sukkah. Noi sukkah. In other words, I'm eating a salad, which is laugh out loud funny, and I'd like to now dress the salad. Can I use the oil that I use for my sukkah decoration? The Mishnah says no. Now their answer is, well, no, you can't because, you know, Chanukah, you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count money by the Ner Chanukah. Amar Rav Yosef, my Davram. So Rav Yosef says, look, it's a great answer, but wow, did you get everything backwards? Tali Tanya b'delo Tanya. Meaning you're answering my Sukkah question from Chanukah. Like, that's weird. So Tanya, Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah lo Tanya, de Tanya, Sichacha. Because look, we have a brisa by sukkah. I adorn my sukkah using foods. I can't benefit from it until Shmini Atzeres, and not even Shmini Atzeres, after Shmini Atzeres. Now, you can make preconditions. When I hang my oil, I could say as a Tanai, but on the third day of Sukkot, I'm going to use it. So that you could do. But the default position is, it can't. It's Noi Sukkah. So Alam Rav Yosef, Avon de Kulo Dam. So Rav Yosef says that the granddaddy of it all is Dam, meaning Kisui Adam. And from there we learn out this idea of Bizui mitzvah. That when you have a mitzvah, you cannot degrade the mitzvah. So therefore, you gotta You can't kick the dirt over the blood. You can't count the money by the Chanukah. And when you adorn your sukkah, you can't just simply help yourself to the noy sukkah.